Good evening and welcome along to this week's episode of The Score here on Highland Radio with myself, Mark Gallagher, with you from now right through until 8 o'clock. As always, we have a busy show lined up to review and preview all the latest stories in the world of sport here in the Northwest. Coming up on the show tonight, we'll be speaking with Brooklist native Shane Byrne, who was the co-driver on board with John Armstrong as the pair won the prestigious Rally Ceredigion last weekend. We'll also hear from the Donegal and Tyrone camps ahead of this Saturday's All-Ireland Masters Final in Cavan. In the world of soccer, we are going to be looking ahead to the new Inishowen Football League season, and it is soccer we begin with, but we're going to focus first on the big game in Ballybuffet tomorrow evening. Finn Harps are in action in a huge FAI Cup quarter-final clash with Premier Division Cork City in what is sure to be a massive occasion at Finn Park. A big crowd is expected and a big performance is needed if Harps are to progress to just their sixth ever FAI Cup semi-final. Well, I'm happy to say joining me on the programme this evening is Finn Harps captain Tony McNamee. Tony, thanks very much for taking time out of your preparations to speak to us this evening.
No problem at all, Mark.
Well, Tony, it's a massive week for the club, and Friday is sure to be a brilliant occasion to be involved in.
Yeah, look, it's I suppose it's exciting for all the players and staff involved, again, the club as well. But I think the young players will probably take a bit more notice of it this week than any other week. Look, it's great to be in the quarterfinals, and again, who knows, it's a once-off game. Who knows what can happen?
That's it. It's kind of a nice game to begin into. I mean, I think you probably see it as more of an opportunity to gain something rather than to lose something. So that's a nice mentality to be heading into a big game with.
Yeah, look, again, we're under no illusions. Cork are probably favourites for a reason. They're in the Premier Division. They're a full-time club. Look, we're at home. We have to take the advantage. We have to take advantage of that anyway. Again, who knows, once-off games, anything can happen. We've seen them over the years in all sports where the underdog comes through. But we have to get our work done in Cork first and then, I suppose, nullify their strengths and play to our strengths as well. And look, again, I can't see many, over the years, I don't think many clubs would like to come up to Finn Park, so we have to make it as difficult as we can for them as well.
For sure. You have been on a great run, which we might go into in a wee bit more detail in a minute, but have the preparations been different this week considering what's at stake on Friday?
Again, look, I suppose we haven't played against Cork this year. I know we played against them a couple of times last year, but we haven't played against them this year, and they have new players this year, so I suppose looking at it from that perspective, we've probably had to do a bit more analysis on them than we would of the other first division clubs because, look, you play the first division clubs four times a year. So yeah, after the first and second time, you get to know all the players in the games then. But like you look through the Cork side, there's probably, I would say probably 10, 12 of their squad weren't there last year, if not more. So again, getting to know their players, getting to know their strengths and weaknesses, again, that's one of them things. But no, look, again, we have to take it as it comes as well. We didn't really change anything in terms of training. We didn't, like, we still train the same nights this week as we would any other week. So to that sense, there's not much has changed. But look, again, it's a different, I suppose it's a cup game and it's a quarter final. It's different to an ordinary league game.
Yeah, it'll be a big night for a lot of reasons. You obviously have to focus on the game of football. Cork City, they have been playing in the Premier Division football, but it looks like they'll be back in the First Division next year. Hasn't really worked out for them for one reason or another, and they've only won four league games all year. I know there'll be that respect, but there'll be no fear going into this game from a Harps point of view.
Look, again, you have to respect all the teams you play. Whether it's the team that's bottom of the First Division, whether it's a non-league club or a Premier Division club, you have to respect everyone. We're under no illusions that, look, they're a Premier Division club, albeit they might be at the bottom or of the league. Like, we're sitting mid-table in the First Division, so obviously the standard of the Premier Division has gone higher. I know the standard of the First Division has gotten higher as well, but look, they're playing against very good sides every week. We know they've had a decent bit of form there recently. I actually watched their game against Derry. They drew in the Brandywell. They've beat Waterford twice in the last few games as well. So look, we're under no illusions how good of a side they are. Like they've an Irish international playing up front for them. And it's not as if he's at the end of his career, 37 or 38. He's still young enough to be playing. So we have to look after him as well. But no, look, we have to go into a bit of confidence as well. We can't be going in fearing the worst. Like we have to get our preparations right, get our shape and everything right. And again, with hopefully there'll be a decent crowd to give us that extra boost as well.
You've got a nice mix in there at the minute, Tony. You've got the more experienced heads, maybe like yourself and Conor Turish. Some new signings have come in and done really well. Hansen Pongo, for one, has been a real spark, especially. And the young players have done really well.
Yeah, look, I think the start of the year, the squad we assembled at the start of the year, there probably wasn't enough experienced players in it. And I think over, especially July, the signings that have come in, you look at the likes of Lorenzo, as you mentioned there, Hans, Adair, Kieran Cooney, Ibra, like there's plenty of players, Brogy that has come in as well. There's players that have played a lot more senior games than the younger boys that were here. Again, different reasons why people move on and stuff like that there, but I think we've strengthened a lot since the new signings have come in. I think there's a bit sort of an experience base down the middle, a lot of young players coming in as well that again have got international recognition in the last few weeks as well, and hopefully that continues. But it just goes to show you that there is a lot of talent in up around Donegal, and it doesn't go unnoticed then with the international teams. Then if they're playing in a senior league, you've probably a better chance of playing than in the likes of academy teams and stuff like that there, because night and day between playing senior football and playing academy level. Like, so I think it has stood them in good step whenever they've moved up to international level too.
You were missing the youngsters last Friday, as you say, a few of them were away in international duty, as you do. You'll have them back this week. A lot could depend on how they respond to the big atmosphere on Friday.
Look, again, it's going to be different. They were playing away with the international teams. Probably, I would say, there wasn't many at the game, so there probably wasn't much of an atmosphere. But look, they're all well capable of playing at, I suppose, maybe even a higher level. You just don't know. It's about how they take to the occasion. Like, I think there'll be a lot bigger crowd in Finn Park than there has been the last few years. I think there's a lot of optimism about the club now with the, I suppose, because we're on a decent run and because the young boys are getting a bit of international recognition too, that there will be a decent crowd at the game. Cork will probably bring a decent set of fans up as well. So look, it's going to be an interesting game, and hopefully we turn out in the end of it on the right side of it even.
Yeah, hopefully. As for the season as a whole so far, Tony, things have really gelled over the past couple of months. I was just looking at the results there, and there's only two defeats in there since the end of May. You've been in the thick of it for Finn Harps through the good days and bad, Tony. What do you put the recent upturn in form down to?
Look, it's hard to know. We were very unfortunate in a lot of games at the start of the year. We were actually, there's probably games at the start of the season where we actually played better than we are now. I think we're getting a bit of, again, when you're on a decent run, you seem to get a bit more luck, and the ball seems to drop in the right areas, and maybe the ball drops in the wrong side of the post then at the other side. We were very, very good at the start of the year in a few games, and we just weren't punishing the teams then, and we were getting punished in the opposite end. So in that sense, it's hard to know what way you would put it down to, but now, look, I always say whenever you're on form, you seem to have a bit more luck than you're off it. And I just think the signings that have come in June, July have really helped us and, I suppose, give us a more solid base in the down the middle as well.
So the Cup this week and then getting into a semi-final would be a massive boost to the rest of the league campaign as well. At this stage, momentum could be huge, and a win on Friday could potentially have a knock-on effect into the last six league games as well. And, you know, who knows where you could end up if you get into them playoffs.
Oh, well, that's it. Look, we've discussed it at length. A lot of the players here, we've discussed it at length. How important the cup has been for us. Like, I think the games against UCD and Bray have, I suppose, pushed us on. They've given us a lot of confidence that we can actually beat those teams. And then whenever you play against them in the league, then you have another. I suppose you have beat them already. It's not as if you're going in fearing for the worst. Whereas if you were to be put out in the first round, and you didn't really have anything to play for, the season just drags on. So at least we're fighting on two fronts now at the minute. We have the cup game this week, and we have I suppose we have a run of fixtures then that can possibly put us into the playoffs. And at least there's a bit of optimism there this year. In other years, the last lock of games sort of petered out, and there was nothing to play for. Whereas at least this year we have a cup run. I think it's 2013 or 2014 the last time the club was in a semi-final of a cup. So what, 99 since the last time the club were in a cup final. And it's interesting to say the least. There's a bit of optimism there amongst the group of players and the board and everything. And hopefully the Friday night the result goes right for us.
Lastly, Tony, these nights at Finn Park have been, as you say, few and far between over the last few years. It's a massive game. You'd love to see it packed to the rafters and get a big crowd behind the team on Friday.
I've played in games at Finn Park that has been a sellout. You look at the playoff games and the games against the area. It's a big help whenever the crowds, I suppose, when the crowd get on your side. They do give you, they're like an extra player. They give you that extra boost. And again, if the crowd can get out and support us, it'd be great. We'll try and entertain them as best we can. But as long as we get through to the next round of the cup, I don't really care what kind of entertaining they get.
Good man, Tony. Appreciate your time and best of luck on Friday. All right.
Cheers, Mark. Thanks.
Finn Harps captain Tony McNamee looking ahead to that huge occasion at Finn Park tomorrow night. We will have live match coverage from the game with Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle on commentary duty for Highland tomorrow evening. Elsewhere in the other cup quarterfinals tomorrow, Shamrock Rovers go to holders Drogheda and Sligo Rovers travel south to face Kerry at Mount Hawk Park. On Sunday, in the last of the quarterfinals, Galway United go to the capital to take on St Pat's. There are also three SSE Air Tristity League First Division fixtures down for decision tomorrow, with leaders Dundalk at home to Ray Wanderers, Longford are away to UCD, and Treaty face Cove Ramblers in a Munster derby. There's a massive game in the Premier Division tomorrow. It is second v third as Bohemians welcome Derry City to Daly Mount Park. Derry are currently a point behind Bowes, so a win would take Tiernan Lynch's side up to second in the league. Now, locally, as I mentioned earlier, the Inishowen Junior League really swings into action this weekend. After a couple of weeks of fixtures in the Clubman Shirts League Cup and Charlie O'Donnell Cup, there's a full programme of games in the three divisions of the league, with the main focus of attention being the Jackie Crossan Premier Division, which turned out to be an enthralling affair last season, with Buncrana Hearts taking the title and Cockhill Celtic finishing as runners-up. To preview the season ahead, Chris Ashmore has been speaking with Martin Doherty, the manager of Clonmany Shamrocks, and Jared Crossan, who is the manager of Cairn Donagh. Last season, Clonmany Shamrocks finished fourth in the top division and finished on a high as they won both the Clubman Shirts League Cup and Donegal Signs Cup. Chris began by asking whether they can carry that form into this new season.
Well, you finished last season with a great flurry of activity and landed some silverware, so can you keep that momentum going from early in this campaign of the Jackie Crossan Premier Division?
Yeah, hopefully. As you said, we finished last season quite strong, picking up two cups, which is always nice to win something at the end of the season for the recognition the players and everyone puts in all year. So we were delighted with that, but that's behind us now. And again, we have to build on that and look forward to this season and ensure we start right and make sure we prepare pre-season, everything's done right, and as I says, get ready for this season now that's coming up.
Yeah, now, no doubt it's going to be hugely competitive again. In the end, Buncrana Hearts won the league, I think it was 6 points in the final analysis, which was maybe a little bit more than some people expected. But for quite a long time, it was really a four-team race, with Alia and Clonmany is in there as well, and Cockhill eventually not picking up a trophy. How do you see it panning out this year?
Pretty much the same. Obviously, there's obviously good teams, and it was hard to tell in terms of what squads have strengthened, if people have lost players, people have added to squads this year. But Cran will obviously be quality as well. They'll be hard to beat with Gary Duffy. They're managing them, and obviously Cockhill, as always, will want to put things right from last season as well. And then there's clubs like Aileach who will have some players coming in, and obviously Cardona themselves will obviously definitely put up a test as well this year. So they're the teams that we see that could be around. But there's no easy games in the National League, and that's, every game's a challenge, every game's a battle, every game needs to be on top of your game to get a result in the National League. So we don't envision any changes to that. Yes, there's some teams that will be tougher than others, but it'll be definitely a very competitive league this year again.
Absolutely. Well, bringing in Gerard Crossan, who once again is in the managerial hot seat in Cardona. Gerard, fifth in the table last year. I think you won seven, you lost seven. So, as Martin was just alluding to there, that there's no easy games in this division. And I put it to you that for a lot of teams, the first few games, they can be vital, because if you drop points early on, you don't often get the chance to catch up later in the season.
Yeah, definitely so. I think with a 16 game league, if you lost your first two or three games, everybody sort of nearly rules you out right away, and probably rightly so. From our own point of view, like you said there, seven wins and seven defeats or whatever, it's inconsistent, and it screams inconsistent, and that's something probably from our point of view that we're hoping to add a wee bit more consistency to the whole thing this year. As Martin said there, there is no easy games. If you don't turn up, even the bottom team will give you trouble. I think from everybody's point of view, it's easy to play the better sides. Everybody's more focused on it, but you can easily get caught out by the teams down the bottom. And I think that's actually where we sort of fell away last year. We could get up for the bigger games, and we struggled a wee bit on the smaller games. So that's something we would like to put right, and that's hopefully where we can kick on from,
Yeah. In terms of playing personnel, Cardona, have you added much to the squad?
No, not really, no. Added a year onto everyone's age, maybe. We're relatively a very young squad in terms of what the top teams have really been putting out. We've just got a year older. Most of the guys are probably two-thirds of the squad still under 20, which is amazing, but they've been there now. Most of them's in their third year. Some of them are even coming on their fourth. So they're getting, a lot of them started at 16, 17, that squad, and they're with a couple of the older guys now that were getting towards the closer to the 30 mark. We're hoping that mix is now starting to, will come right, and we'll get that wee bit of consistency that you can have in the league, and hopefully then you can push on and get at the so-called bigger teams.
So, Martin, many people will expect Buncrana and Cockhill, I suppose you could call them the big two, to be right up there again. And for the rest of the teams, playing those games against Buncrana and Cockhill, if you can get a result from them, not only are you boosting your own team, but for the likes of Buncrana or Cockhill, they go into the campaign with a lot of pressure on. If they drop points early on, it could be fatal for them.
Yeah, as Jared said earlier too, if you don't start the season well, it can be a short season, and it's tough to recover from times. It's important that clubs like ourselves continue to bridge that gap between Cockhill and Buncrana, and that's what we strive to and try to keep improving and keep trying to get close to them. And ultimately, we ourselves, as does every club, to put a performance and get over the line and get a result against those two clubs. So this year will be no difference, and I think we have utmost confidence in our squad and our players to bridge that gap. And it's important that we have that belief that we can go and challenge them again this year and hopefully run them a lot closer than we did previous years.
Yeah, and Gerard, I mean, again, these are great times for people involved in the game in Inishowen. The Inishowen League, as strong as it's ever been. Then you look at the FAI Cup and the Junior Cup, and you look at also the Oscar Traynor Cup. I know there's, I think at the 19th of September is the deadline for anybody interested in that managerial position. But Inishowen soccer continues to be so, so strong that there's a steady stream of young players coming through as well, and it augurs well for the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely so. It's great to see likes of Clonmany and Aileach And we talk about Buncrana and Cock Hill, and of course they deserve the plaudits that they've built two strong squads. But the league would go nowhere if every other team just sat down and accepted that they were going to be it. There is the likes of Aelia, Clonmany, ourselves, Allies, all the other clubs have come in there. They're all coming in with the attitude that they can go and hopefully go and compete. And I think that's what makes the league as strong as it is. Young players coming through, especially, well, using our own club for an example, like we have maybe 15, 20 young players striving to play first team football, which is great. I'm sure Martin has the same coming through at his thing, which, and that makes the league strong. And sometimes that the smaller clubs then, they'll get a run of young players coming through and the teams, they get better for a couple of years. So it keeps the league very competitive for most years anyway. You know, I don't recall too many seasons where just, Maybe the first year that Cockhill came back in, that someone just ran away with the league. Other than that, it's been very competitive, and that's the way you want it. You need the four, five, six teams that's able to go at one another and give each other trouble, you know.
And Martin, the Club and Shirts League Cup already up and running. Carn, Cockhill, Lilies and Aelia into the semi-finals. You've played Buncrana Hearts, so I think that finished 1-1. So what were your impressions of that game? Because in the League Cup at the start of the season, you know, quite often you might be waiting on one or two players to come in. So sometimes it can be difficult to read too much into these games.
Yeah, obviously, every game of football, everybody wants to win. We had the luxury of having both Cockhill and Buncrana in our League Cup group, which was a quite difficult group. Listen, we all come up against Buncrana, and obviously they'll have an improved team as the season goes on. We wouldn't read too much into those League Cup fixtures, especially against Buncrana, because they'll definitely improve and they'll have players coming back into it with all our commitments at this stage of the season. So they'll definitely be a better side. We obviously come up against Cockhill at home. We lost 2-0 in that one. Again, same thing. We hope to improve and have players come back into it as well. So wouldn't read too much in the League Cup. It was obviously nice to win that. We're disappointed we didn't retain that trophy this year. We did, it was brilliant to us last year, the League Cup, but obviously the league getting underway now this Sunday, that's our main focus, and we just take it a game at a time.
Yeah. Now, Jared, if we look at the way it panned out last season in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division, it's a 9-team league, so you have the occasional weekend off. Greencastle, well, it was a season to forget for them. It's probably rare for one team to be cut off adrift in a league where the standard is so high. Again, we spoke about it earlier that, you know, if you don't get off to that good start, you could be struggling. And for the, I don't want to call any of the teams the so-called weaker teams, but for those who finished in the lower regions last year, with so few teams in the league, you can be in a scrap from almost day one.
100%. As I said earlier, you lost your first three or four games. It's junior football. Heads go down very easily because at the end of the day, junior footballers, they like that wee carrot in front of them that they can actually go and maybe win a trophy or be competing. So if you take that away after three or four games, heads goes down. Guys find excuses not to play or not to turn up or thingy-me. And by Christmas, you're in that dogfight very, very, very easily. And then it's a slippery slope. Like some teams have, like as did happen Greencastle last year, it just, they maybe hadn't got the personnel, and once you lost four or five games, you're in trouble right away, and that's something why important, a good start to the season, you get your first two ones out of it, everybody's tails are up, and you hope then that you can keep building on that there right up to Christmas, and then you see where you're at after that.
I'm speaking with Jared Crossan, manager of Carn Dunna FC, and Martin Doherty, who is in the hot seat at Clonmany Shamrocks. Martin, back to you, just as we'll have a quick gawk at the HML Plantar First Division. And fair to say that, you know, you know this yourself, things go in cycles. It wasn't that long ago that Glengad United were in the top flight. They finished fourth in the First Division last year. No doubt they will be one of the teams hoping to get back up into the highest level of soccer in Inishowen.
Yeah, of course. Any team in that First Division will definitely want to aim for promotion, and that should be the aim. Obviously, last year, Quigley's Point and Cockhill Youth had a very good run at, and Obviously, Quigley's Point got over the line last year, and they're coming into the Premier Division this year, and they will be quite a difficult team this year as well, because I'm sure they'll want to kick on as well, and they've brought in some players, I believe, as well there. So Glengarry should be thereabouts. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, Greencastle will look to bounce straight back up again as well, and they'll want to put a few things right from last season as well, and look to improve again and kick on and feel that they should be back in the Premier Division where they belong to. So it'll definitely be a very competitive division in that first division as well, and well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes there.
Yeah, and mentioning Quigley's Point Swifts, there was a time, of course, that they played in the Ulster Senior League and were one of the top sides there, indeed champions as well. So it just goes to show just what can happen over a period of time. Looking at some of the other names, well, Melville Celtic had a season maybe to forget last year. They actually got relegated, and for a club that has a big tradition and history there, no doubt they'll be hoping to make amends this season and make a quick return back going up, having been relegated last time.
Yeah, so yeah, Melville had back-to-back relegations, haven't they? So again, same thing, big population out there as well, and I'm sure every club will, especially for their first team anyway, to really kick on, and you know, I'm sure it's a tough pill to swallow having two teams in that bottom division. So they'll want to put things right and look to improve too, I'm sure, and look to kick and feel to get they can back up again and climb up the divisions to the Premier Division, but it'll definitely be a tough challenge for them to try and do that for a couple of seasons. So yeah, it'll be interesting as well to see how they progress throughout the year.
And Jared, if we look at the Innis Owen Engineering Division 2, it's an interesting league insofar as there are a number of clubs and towns and villages that might have two teams. Rosheeny are there with the first team and the reserves, with Kilduff and Kilduff Rovers, Melville Celtic, Melville Reserves. And last year, Sea Rovers, 15, I think it was 15 straight wins they had, and they absolutely dominated. And sometimes you see that a team gets real momentum and they go through, and who knows, they could go up again this year.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. I think with the reserve league there, it just depends on the personnel that they can get out, the morning kickoffs and different things, and clubs' ambitions as well. Some teams go in there and they just want a game of football. Some teams actually have the ambition of moving themselves up. Like I say, as I say, I think Rosheeny might have three teams in there. I'm sure they want at least one club playing in the first division, if not pushing on up to the Premier. Melville Celtic, they have a big step to do. They should, let's be really honest, a club of their stature shouldn't be down in that. And I'm sure they're going to put that right over the next season or so and get themselves into the first division and keep building on that there. But no, it'll always throw up an odd wee surprise too in that league. As I said, morning football, who do you get out in the morning and who's really up for it, and what the team's desire is for the season. It can always throw up an odd surprise here and there, you know.
So just rounding things off, gentlemen, and back to you, Martin. The Jackie Crossan Premier Division, Pancrana Hearts, defending champions. Cockhill will be the wounded animal. Everybody will be going out to try and make their mark. Can I put your head on the block? Is it going to be your own club, or who do you reckon will be in the top three or four?
Listen, the teams that you mentioned are always going to be thereabouts. So the Cockhills and the Bulcranas and ourselves and Ailie and Cairn, they're going to be the teams competing. But to repeat what I said earlier, there's no easy game. Like Ellie's, Quigley's Point, Redcastle, whatever, are all going to be tough games away from home, even at home. We're just going to take it one game at a time, and obviously there's nothing more important as our next game. So that'll be our mindset and that'll be our focus. And you know, hopefully we can be there as well towards the end of the year, and hopefully we can really push those two clubs and you know Aelia all the way this year, a little further than we did. But we're confident in our players and our squad that we have there. And you know, we kick off the opening game of the season with an away game against Cockhill. So that's going to be a massive challenge and massive test for us. But it's a game that we look forward to, and it's a game we're excited about, and it's a game that we can't wait to kick off the season with.
And in conclusion, Jared, well, fifth last season. So given the competitive nature of the league, no doubt you'd like to go a step or two higher, but it's going to be so tight. So all to play for, and you are at home against Redcastle. Important for you to get the points in the bag in that opener.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's not as we've said, there's no easy games in that league, and yeah, the League Cup. Everybody will look at the League Cup result last week and think, oh, it's going to repeat. It'll be absolutely no reflection on this game. This is a separate game that we need to take serious, and we know that Redcastle's not going to come in and lie down to us. As Martin says, we take that game, and then when we get that game over, we look at the next one, and
Yeah.
so on, so on. And from a league point of view, then. That all the teams that you've mentioned, you want everybody to be strong, that everyone is beating everyone, and that keeps everybody in it then. If we get one or two teams that's going to go first six, seven games and won them all, then all of a sudden there's a wee gap there, and it's harder to pull in. So the more teams that are competitive in the league, the better the league bees, and there's more chances for other teams to get a wee bit higher, especially ourselves. We want to be pushing. Every year we've sort of gone up one place. So this year, maybe if we could go two places, who knows? You never know where it'll take you at the end of it.
Yeah, now I'm not sure if you were playing Jared, but I remember Carndonagh in action in the FAI Senior Cup. Was it against Limerick back in the late? No, I don't know when it was a long time
I
ago.
was a wee bit young. I was just a little bit young for that one now, but I remember it. I was at it. I remember it well, but that was a little bit young. I was a little bit young for that.
Yeah, but it goes to show, look, who knows what's ahead for teams in a run in cups and maybe getting into an FAI Junior Cup or Senior Cup. That's one of the great things about the game.
Oh, hey, listen, anything's possible. I think, like, let's be honest, like Cockhill proved, and I think I've been preaching it for years, that the teams up here underestimate themselves when we go into the national competition. It's there for the taking. Everybody thinks it's going to be a Dublin team or a Cork team or whatever because they're coming from the bigger cities. But there's loads of football, loads of talent up here, right across all the clubs. And they should actually be setting their stall out to go and win them competitions because they are there. And Cockhill proved you can go and win them competitions. And I hope that that's something that should set everybody's their aspirations to go and try and compete at that level. And anything can happen, as you say, Karen going and playing in the FAI Cup that time was brilliant. And I think it was the talk of the town for a couple of years after that, you know. And that's what makes clubs. You know, pushes clubs on and makes other their neighbours maybe want to push on as well in their club, and that's what you need to be doing all the time, you know.
Well, my thanks to Gerard Crossan, manager of Carndonagh FC, and Martin Doherty, manager of Clonmany Shamrocks, as we conclude our preview of the start of the league in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division this weekend in Inishowen. There's also action in the HML Plantire First Division and in the Inishowen Engineering Division 2. And the fixtures in the top flight. It all begins tomorrow evening. That's Friday, September the 12th. Kildaff against newly promoted Quigley's Point Swifts. And that has an 8 o'clock start. And then on Sunday in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division, it's Cockhill Celtic against Clonmany Shamrocks, Carn at home to Redcastle United, and Buncrana Hearts meet Alia. And those games all begin at 2 o'clock.
Thanks very much, Chris. The cup action is still taking centre stage for Donegal Junior League clubs this weekend. There are four Voodoo Cup games on Saturday, while on Sunday the area finals of the Brian McCormick Cup will take place. It is Donegal Town against St Catharines. Kilmacrenan play Cadgie Rovers, and Letterkenny Rovers face Bonagie United. Now it is time for a short break here on The Score. When we come back, we'll be speaking to Shane Byrne, fresh off his win at Raleigh Ceredigion alongside Enniskillen native John Armstrong. Welcome back to The Score. Now it is time to talk motorsport. And last weekend was a huge weekend for Brooklist native Shane Byrne, who was co-pilot alongside Enniskillen driver John Armstrong as they drove to victory at Raleigh Ceredigion in Wales. The pair are currently in third spot in the overall ERC standings, with just one rally to go in Croatia at the beginning of next month. To talk about that and more, I can now welcome the man himself, Shane Byrne, onto The Score this evening. Shane, thanks very much for talking to us.
It's great to be on. Thank you.
Shane, first of all, I want to say congratulations on your big win at Raleigh Ceredigion at the weekend. Thoroughly deserved. It must have been some buzz to come out on top after a hectic weekend's racing.
Yeah, a great feeling. Just stuff of dreams, I suppose. Don't really maybe think it's sunk in yet, but just looking at a lot of the photos and videos that's appearing online over the last couple of days, and you're reliving the moment again and again and again down at the stop car where were up on the roof of the car. So no, I just really, really, really happy with what we've done at the weekend, and it's a massive result for M Sport, especially being 1 and 2 with our teammates Romit and Sim on the podium with us, and for the Motorsport Ireland Rally Academy, and just really happy for the boss of it all, John Coyne, to get a result for him at all the work and financial support that he provides to us young drivers and co-drivers. It's great for to get a result for John as well, to show that the hard work is paying off. So no, it's been a great weekend, although it was raining quite heavy, but we'll not give out too much about that.
No, I would say you're still on cloud nine. Has the adrenaline calmed down a bit? I would say it takes a few days to come down to earth. I know you're back at work this week, so there's not much time for celebrating, but is there any time to enjoy it, and has the adrenaline calmed down a wee bit?
Yeah, we were out there for dinner, myself and John and John's partner Holly and some of John's friends on Sunday evening, and I suppose typical Sunday is just quiet about the neighbouring town, but we had dinner and a few drinks. We met some of the team as well and had a good chat about the weekend and that. But no, it was nice to get some downtime as well, because the events are quite demanding too. You're talking like the day we done, it was a 1 day recce, so that was like we had an X amount of time to write our pace notes for the stages. It was a 5:45 a.m. start, and we didn't go to bed after 11:30 that night, so it's quite intense. And you always try to, like, try and get good, decent sleep and food leading up to the event, because it's all go, go, go once you're at the event. And it's like 5:30, 6 a.m. starts the day of the rally. In fact, actually, Saturday morning was a 5 a.m. start, so it's long days. But once you get the suit on and the helmet on, and the light goes green, the adrenaline keeps you going. So no, it's all good fun.
And it's all worth it then when you come out in front. Let's go to the rally itself at the weekend. You ended up winning by 29.2 seconds, and you led from very early on the Saturday right through. But it wasn't all smooth sailing. That Estonian driver Jurgensen kept you honest the whole way and really put pressure on you.
Yeah, so the feeling was good with John in the car on qualifying, and we were confident going into Saturday morning, and we were fastest by just a handful of seconds on the first stage, which was stage two Saturday morning. But it just kind of set us up good then. We continued that on and kept chipping away. But there was a stage there like that was up in the region of like 34 kilometers. I think I had like 58 pages of pace notes for it. So it was quite a long stage, and quite a good rhythm through there. But just towards the end of it, we came around quite a slow right-hander, but there's a bit of mud on the inside of the corner, and it kind of sent us across the road, and we just clipped these like cattle grids out there, so there's little bales protecting it. We just kissed one of them and damaged the front bumper, and we dropped a bit of time, and there was pheasants on the road, and there was a few sheep running wild as well. So it was like a safari at times.
I'll say
We're
that.
trying to avoid them, but no, we came in and the team done a great job in service getting the car repaired again, and we went out and just kept the hammer down, and got into Saturday evening then we were leading. But two tough stages to get into Sunday. The weather was given to break, and Heinrich, our weatherman with M Sport, done a fantastic job. He was really, really giving detailed information of showers, when they were coming, were they localized, were they going to hit the service park, and even with our engineer as well, every decision Mark was the correct one. It was a big thing to get the result across the line. So we went out in wet tires for the last loop on Sunday, and sure enough, when we arrived out to the stage, like it was pure wet. And John put down just a stormer of a time in there. I think we like were a second a kilometer quicker than the rest. But at that stage, like, we just made the decision it's time to get the car home now. In the last stage, the lead was strong enough that you could afford to back off a little, because sometimes them last stages can just really bite you.
Yeah, and I think you were leading by over 30 seconds heading into that last stage, so you were confident you could see it out. And then once you finish the last stage and you see your times, as you say, you've been through it all, the weather and the sheep and the pheasants and the mud, a big sense of relief once you finish.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, when you're going into that last stage, we're two ordinary lads from Donegal, from Ara, chasing the dream, and sometimes it can be a bit hard to manage the emotions. But we kept ourselves in check, and I remember like there was 2 pages to go in the notes, and I could see the helicopter over to the right hand side, and the helicopter would be like doing the outside footage, sorry, which would be the live TV, and you know that everyone's watching and everyone's hoping that you're just going to get it across the line, and for that split second you have to tell yourself just to keep focus, just keep calling the notes, keep staying 2 corners ahead of John, you're nearly there. But no, once you get across the finish line, it's just such a relief. A lot of emotions, a lot of thoughts going through your head. And funny enough, from that stage, when you cross the finish line down to the stop car, journey is only a couple of 100 meters. But this time there was quite a drive, maybe just over close to 1 kilometer. So it was nice to have that moment to ourselves just to kind of have a wee cry, as John says, and have a laugh and just a wee fist bump and just get yourself process what's going on before you come down to the stop car. Or
That's
sorry,
interesting.
the ceremonial finish. And it was great to see Donna Kelly, who only lives 20 minutes up the road from me. He was one of the first to meet us and greet us there, so along with Gary Jennings. So it was nice to see a couple of familiar faces from home there as well.
Talk to us a wee bit about Rally Caradige in itself, and maybe you can explain to us why it's such a lucrative event and why it's so prestigious to come out on top in it.
What the stages is there, Mark, just the characteristics of the stages change. Like the, you're on maybe flat out main road stuff, white line in the middle, change to choppy, bumpy stuff. The grip surface is changing. Sometimes it can be very difficult from a co-driver's side. When the rhythm changes in the stages, sometimes you're in really tight, twisty sections. Other times you're in flat out sections. You're really against the clock trying to call notes, and it really tests drivers and co-drivers. There's a bit of everything in it, and I suppose with the animals too, you have to avoid them as best you can.
That's it. We can't be hitting the poor animals. Croatia
No.
next, the last event on the European Championship circuit for the year. Shane, this season's gone really well for you. You're sitting in third spot there in the ERC. It'll be a big achievement for yourself and John to finish in the top three, or is it even possible to break into the top two, depending on how the last rally in Croatia goes?
Yeah, mathematically, we have a chance. Obviously, we'll need to like sit down and look at it in more depth now coming into this weekend. But we do have a chance of winning it. We'll need to win the rally. We'll need to win the power stage, and we'll need a bit of drama behind us, which is never nice with your competitors because we're all so close. But no, I think once you, we'll just do what we can do and control what the controllables, and just see how everything else pans out. But Croatia could be quite a similar rally to Ceredigion. Could be mixed weather, maybe need a mixed tire package at certain times as well. There's going to be a couple of guys from the World Championship attending and competing in that event as well. It'll be a warm up for them going to Central Europe a few weeks after. So no, there'll be lots of stiff competition, and it's great to be racing the best because it shows you where the benchmark is, especially at the end of our season and looking forward and going into 2026. So no, we'll be bringing our A game, and we'll be giving it our best shot and see how things fare out on Sunday in Croatia.
Brooklist native Shane Byrne on that fantastic result last weekend as himself and John Armstrong won Rally Ceredigion. Now let's turn the focus to Gaelic Games, and it is another very busy weekend across the northwest with championship action really ramping up across Donegal, Derry and Tyrone. The Tyrone Senior Championship is underway this evening as reigning county and Ulster champions Errigal Kieran are currently up against Ardbo and Dungannon. And there are games across the Tyrone and Derry Senior Championships over the weekend, so we'll be keeping a close eye on those competitions on our weekend sports shows. Here in Donegal, the action gets underway tomorrow night with the Michael Murphy Sports Senior C Football Championship semi-finals between Sean McCools and Four Masters, and St Union's play Neave Connell. The first of the two preliminary quarter-finals in the Senior Championship are on Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. St Union's and Termon lock horns for the second time in a week when they go head-to-head in Convoy. And at 7:30, Neave Connell play Killybegs in Ardrah. Well, the first of the relegation playoffs is also on Saturday evening. Éire Ballyshannon and Glenfinn will look to secure their status in the Senior Championship at Tyrconnell Park. That gets underway at 5 o'clock. The intermediate quarter-finals swing into action on Saturday evening as well. Buncrana will host host the Inishowen Derby between Mallon and Naoimh Padraig Ishkahane. And in the Junior Championship, Naoimh Padraig Lifford play Robert Emmett. Letterkenny Gaels take on Naoimh Ulton and Cairn Donagh play Naoimh Columbkill. Our two feature games this weekend are on Sunday afternoon, as we'll be live from the doubleheader at O'Donnell Park in the Michael Murphy Sports Senior Football Championship. From 3 o'clock, it'll be Downing's against Sean McCools, and at 5 o'clock, Glen Swilly will face Four Masters. We will have full live match commentary from both of those games with Oisin Kelly, Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne. The other relegation playoff is on Sunday afternoon with the meeting of St Nolls and Our Drag getting underway at 1 o'clock at Eamon Byrne Memorial Park. And in the Intermediate Championship on Sunday, the other three quarterfinals will be down for decision. At 1 o'clock, Milford play Naoimh Warra in Dunfanaghy. Red Hughes play Bundoran at Tyrconnell Park. While at 4 o'clock, it'll be Naoimh Columba up against Buncrana in Convoy. Both relegation playoffs in the Intermediate Championship are on Sunday. Burt play Narossa at the Donegal GAA Centre at 1. And Fanad Gaels play Clonmacnoise at 3. It is LGFA Intermediate semi-final day on Sunday as Fanad Gaels face Buncrana and Killybegs take on Our Drag. And Gidor play at Cairn Donagh in the Intermediate Shield semi-final. Highland's dedicated GAA programme is now available to listen back to over on our website. This week, Brendan Devaney has been reviewing and previewing all the weekend's championship action in Donegal on the DL Debate, which you can tune into on the playback section at highlandradio.com. It is a massive weekend for the Donegal and Tyrone Masters teams as they face off in the All-Ireland Masters Final at Breffni Park in Cavan on Saturday afternoon. Tyrone will go in search of the Dr. Mick Loftus Cup as hot favourites as they look to compete five in a row at this level, while Donegal were the last team to win the trophy before their opponents started to dominate. Highland's Oisin Kelly has been speaking with both managers in the lead-up to the game. Joe Leonard is the Tyrone boss, but first of all, here's Donegal manager Eddie Crawford.
What's it like working with a group now for the last couple of weeks getting organised for an All-Ireland final?
Oh, it's a bit hectic, to be fair, Oisin. Training there, we had the last training session Tuesday night there. We had 47 players at our session. And to be fair, that's the sort of numbers we're having all year. That really helps. You know, the big numbers help with the training, like, you know what I mean, especially for game situations and all. So the mood in the camp is very good, man. So our cell systems go. Last year we finished 12th, I think, in the league, and we were in the third tier championship, in which we went on to one against London in the final. But we knew we were much better than a third tier team, and we decided at the start of the year that we'd try to kick on and maybe even get into the Shield final, which is second tier. But the way things happened is that we trained hard, we worked hard, we kept winning games, and we are where we are now at the minute, and we're happy enough.
And a couple of additions at the start of the year helped that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we brought Benny Boyle back there, Benny Baker Boyle, he's a great player. Gary Dunyan from over McCool's team, good addition as well. And Thompson's from Naoimh Connell. Sean McGuire's back from Clonmacnoise as well. Donica Gallagher from my own club in Glen Swilly. We brought in a trainer as well, Rory McLaughlin from McCool's. It's a great addition, works hard. Most of the boys in our squad have given their life and soul to Gaelic football. Like, you know, they've played and they've managed, they've coached. They don't want to stop. You know, these boys are really up for it. As I say, you said about the medals, like, you know, it's important. There are not too many All-Ireland medals floating around Donegal for Gaelic football, so... we had actually a medal there at training the other night. One of the guys had it from a previous campaign, and we're showing them, and, you know, and we're saying, listen, you know, this can be achieved if you really want it, like, you know. And as I say, trying to instill that positivity into the team, like, you know, and give them the confidence to push on and try and win one of those.
Joe Leonard, listen, has your squad evolved and changed much over the last 4 years?
Like, as you know, my two sons are along with me, Kieran and Damien. They always keep saying I'm the boss, like, but hey, I wouldn't actually say that now, because they do a lot of work. Kieran would actually be starting to work now on to get people in for next year. We always try and keep fresh blood coming every year if we can help it.
You have a bit of blood around that squad that have won senior All-Irelands and have won various titles during their adult footballing careers, which is obviously a big boost. You've got some talented boys there, Stephen O'Neill, Conor Gormley, guys like that.
And see some of the other fellas, you know, that was near enough making County Panel, you know, and now they're able to put on the county jersey and they're relishing it. You know, so it just, that's just the way it, hey, we're lucky, like, just at the minute, and that's my honest opinion of it. Like, we just happened to have a good spell with players at it. We're just trying to keep keep other players now coming in to see can you keep it going. Football can be very cruel sometimes, and that's just the way it works.
Donegal is your opposition. I'm sure you've been keeping tabs on them through the year. What sort of challenge are you expecting from your neighbours?
Well, you know as well as what I do, Donegal is going to come with full intensity, because it's a wee while now since they've won one. And they're not coming to make up numbers just because they're playing Tyrone. And I'm glad for that, because we always get on well with them. There's always a good game. It's competitive, certainly, and there's more probably a bit of hardy-bargy and one thing and another. But it's after then, everybody's still the same. And once whoever's won, we've all got respect for each other. But I'm telling you now, Donegal's not coming to make up numbers. And my motto has been, from the day that I started playing football, you're no better than the last day you stepped on the green grass. And that's one thing that I keep pumping into the players all the time. You're never no better than the last day you played.
That is Highland's Oisín Kelly in conversation with Tyrone's Joe Leonard. And before that was Donegal boss Eddie Crawford. We will have live updates from that game on Saturday afternoon from 3 o'clock. Finally, it is the third week of the domestic rugby season here in the province. In the Junior Cup on Saturday, Omagh travelled to take on Ballymena. In the Junior Shield, Letterkenny are at home to Grosvenor. City of Derry are at home to Monaghan, and Limavady go to Randallstown. While in Ulster Championship 3, Strabane are away to PSNI. That is just about it for this episode of The Score. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher, and if you missed any of tonight's show, it will be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Have a great evening, enjoy the sport of the weekend, and I will talk to you all again very soon.